Welcome to the Real Estate Espresso Podcast, your morning shot of what's new in the world of real estate investing. I'm your host, Victor Monash. This is the weekend edition where we interview notable people in the world of real estate investing. Today is no exception. We have Chris Procuro, a CPA here in Nashville, Tennessee. Chris, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Chris, we've gone through a tremendous amount of tax reform over the last several months. I think a lot of people are still trying to make sense of it in terms of what it means. I know you're both a CPA and a real estate investor, so it's perfect that we have you here on the show. It's very timely. What are some of the major changes that have taken place over the last several months that investors need to be paying attention to?
Well, that's a great question. And just stepping back one foot, the tax reform did simplify things for corporations and for individual taxpayers. But for anyone that is a business owner or a real estate investor, it did complicate things, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. It does provide a lot of planning opportunities for clients, but it definitely complicated things. And we are, as CPAs, we are still trying to interpret the reform. We don't think that there's going to be very much guidance provided from the government until at least 2019. So it has put the onus on us practitioners who do have ethical responsibilities, but also we're looking for our clients' best interests. So that being said, some of the key points of the reform for business owners is something called the qualified business income deduction. So if you have a business that you have net income on, there's in general 20% additional tax deduction for you. And there are some restrictions based on income. There's a restriction that says you have to have income. So a lot of our real estate investor clients, because of the favorable depreciation deductions and capital expenditure deductions, a lot of times we can find a way to reduce that taxable income quite a bit. But for some of the clients that have
active business income,
correct, there'll be an additional deduction. Tax rates in general have gone down for clients. And I think that we're going to see a lot more planning as far as filing. And what I mean by that as far as how you file, clients that may have filed married jointly in the past may now file separately due to these income restrictions on the qualified business income and vice versa.
Very interesting. You know, a lot of tax professionals, a lot of CPAs tend to be, I'll say, very mechanical, very technical in the sense of, okay, give me the numbers, I'll turn the crank, and out the other end, I'll hand you a bill, and part of it goes to me, part of it goes to the government, and see you next year. You're a little bit different. You're a little bit more strategic. Talk to us a little bit about how you engage clients and what that relationship's like. You know, are you charging on an hourly basis? How's that all work?
Well, that's a great question, and obviously we always want clients to find a CPA that they are, or an enrolled agent for that matter, that they're comfortable working with, that shares their values and ethics. For us, how I choose to run my own practice is focusing on being someone's consultant. We want, for us as practitioners, we spend about 64% of our time accumulating information from clients and organizing it. Why? Because clients, a lot of times, don't want to give us that information because they think it's going to take us extra time, which costs them more money. So we use an approach that we have a flat fee bundled service for our clients, and that includes unlimited communication. It includes an annual tax planning and projection meeting, or maybe more than one if necessary, and the tax preparation. Once we get to the point where a client looks at us as a consultant, as an advisor, and not just a number cruncher, the relationships deepen and the advice we could provide is greater.
That's awesome. You know, I think a lot of people treat the whole tax side of the business as a necessary evil, and they kind of almost avoid it as opposed to approaching it strategically. Because at the end of the day, it's not whether you make money, it's how is that income being recognized? In what form? Is it simple income? Is it employment income? Is it business income? Is it residual income? Passive versus active, all these different things make a difference in terms of how that gets recognized, correct?
Absolutely. And so it's a fact and circumstances situation with each client. So when a client comes in and think about the construction process or hiring a painter. If anyone's ever tried to paint their own home or painted half of a room and then you hire a painter and think that, well, I painted half of it, so it should be half the price. That's not how it works. They probably have to undo the things you did. So if someone comes to us in March or in April and wants their taxes prepared for the previous year and has no idea what their situation is, it's very hard to help them out. It's very hard to advise them. Specifically for real estate investors, the most important time of the year for us is between July and November. This is when we're building our tax projections. This is when we're looking at the tools in our tool belt, 1031 exchanges, cost segregation studies. When are you placing a rental property into service? What are the capitalization rules? What are the safe harbor rules for deducting repairs and maintenance? Now, not to get too technical here, because this is a much more fun show than that, but those are the things in our tool belt, and we want to be able to use those for clients. Another tool is with your real estate activity. What is it? Is it going on Schedule C? Is it going on Schedule E as a rental? Is it as a part of a partnership? So a lot of times of planning for where a deduction is, clients always ask, is this deductible? And the answer is usually it depends. The other question should be, where's the best place to deduct this?
You're new here in the Nashville market. What have you noticed moving? I guess you were in Michigan before. What have you noticed what's different about being here in the Nashville market versus your practice back when it was in Michigan?
Well, we're going to be here 2 years. Differences would be, well, we chose to come here. Our family's adapted wonderfully, but the business climate's a little more relaxed, and I realized that I had been in business in Detroit for 14 years. We still have a sizable practice there. This went through the worst years that Detroit faced, with GM going bankrupt. But I realized that I ran uphill into the wind and rain for many years. And now being down here in a city that's growing with a lot of prosperity, it's a lot different conversation as far as obtaining new business. And I think in general, clients are more open to the flat fee bundled service approach and the consulting approach. They're in general more likely to pay for professional service and understand that we are more than just a commodity. We're a relationship.
I love that. And if someone wants to get in touch with you, what's the best way?
Sure. Well, I have a long last name and a long email address, so I would say please go to realestatecpa.guru. And you can fill out some information, and I'm happy to provide any listener with a half-hour complimentary consultation, and I promise I'm going to give you some answers and some guidance there. Or on Twitter, I'm at PICC, PICCCPA. If you follow me, I post a lot of information about taxes and advising. So I'd love to hear from any of the listeners, and I really appreciate this opportunity.
Why don't you read that website one more time?
Sure. It's realestatecpa.guru, G-U-R-U.
Wonderful. Chris, great to connect with you in person. And for the listeners, have a great rest of your day. Have an awesome weekend. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow.